are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So living with the personality disorder is not just about survival, it's about learning to thrive. With the right coping tools, people can develop emotional regulation, better relationships, and a sense of identity. So today's conversation is all about hope and resilience. And Yolanda Rootman joins us once again to speak about coping strategies for individuals with personality disorders. Yolanda, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bongi. Always lovely to be with you guys.
Now, Yolanda, what are some effective self-care practices for managing emotional triggers?
Self-care is extremely important, but I would rather have us go look at one of the therapies most used to treat borderline personality disorder or personality disorders in general, and that is the DBT, dialectical behavior therapy. And dialectical behavior therapy has four pillars of support. You know, the first pillar is mindfulness, being in the moment. And then with that pillar comes specific skills. So that would be like relaxation. That can be being just mindful in the moment. That can be enticing your senses, engaging with your senses. The second pillar they have is distress tolerance. Mm-hmm. So then their skills to whenever I am now in this process of severe emotional distress, how can I overcome that? And then under that pillar, there's also specific skills. And these include things like physical exercise, changing your body temperature, you know, really addressing that polyvagal theory, that vagus nerve in your body to calm down. Then emotion regulation, which also comes with some skills there, especially mm-hmm. addressing vulnerabilities. And then the last pillar is effective relationships, so personal effectiveness in your relationships. And those are things like boundaries and communication skills. So the reason I mention these four pillars is because when it comes to personality disorders, we want to have something tangible. We want to really work with skills. So it's one thing to say, okay, self-care, taking care of yourself, being aware of your emotions, that's all good and well. But once you know what the emotion is, what do you do then? Once you have that emotion take over, what do you do then? Self-care has to also have a purpose, especially when you're using it as a way to help with emotional triggers. And that's why when the self-care is incorporated in how do I use the self-care as a skill going forward, mm-hmm. then it's more effective than just, oh, I'm taking a long bath or I'm just taking care of myself. That being said, other elements of looking after yourself and good self-care that can prevent and manage these triggers are things like getting enough sleep, setting healthy boundaries, building that routine. But I'll definitely say that it's not just self-care practice alone standing, but how can I use my self-care and incorporate that in skills mm-hmm. that can really help me manage my emotions better?
Okay. And how can mindfulness and grounding techniques help in daily life?
Okay, so mindfulness helps us just stay present. So rather than getting stuck in the past or being overwhelmed by the future, which is very often the cornerstones of some of these motivation of these emotions. I'm thinking of what happened in the past, or I'm really nervous of what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. Being in the moment, being mindful, is telling you I have no control over the past, I can't change it. I have no control over the future at this moment. I don't know what's going to come. Mm. But what I have control over and what I can influence is my future on this moment or at this moment. So when we're mindful, we can catch ourselves before we spiral into a stress or panic. And grounding techniques like focusing on your breath or naming five things you see or touching, textures, once again, engaging in those senses, it brings you back into your body. It brings you back into this environment to say those thoughts and feelings you have about the future and the past isn't what's happening currently. So let's deal with what we have influence over. Let's deal with what we have control over at this moment. Because your body, and that's another important thing to know about emotions, is that your emotions don't know the difference between past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Your brain doesn't know that you are not currently in the past. So when you think about past thoughts, past traumas, things that have happened in your past, your body will respond as if you're currently in that situation. And therefore, you kind of have that extreme emotion, but feel like you're at a loss or out of control because you can't control what has happened.
Sure. And then what role would you say journaling or creative expression, what do those play in healing?
Okay, so journaling and creative outlets like art and music or dance give emotions a place to go. So I love that. And I love that these days it's a big talk and people are encouraged to journal more. People are encouraged to do more things for their mental health. So they help us process when we're feeling in a way that's often more honest than words, you know, because emotions are not always, they're not tangible. Yeah. So this is a nice way to kind of have that movement, the movement you feel in your mind and your body to kind of express that. Journaling can help us untangle confusing thoughts because when you're in your mind, when you're in your thoughts, you can't take a step back from them. They go from the one to the next and you're a part of them. You're part of that whirlwind. So journaling allows us to just take a moment to step back, put those thoughts to paper, and then really just look at what are these thoughts and are they connected to each other? Do they feel one another? Do they have anything to do with each other? Mm. And that can also just help you get a little bit more perspective. However, I will caution here because I do think it's important to journal with purpose. Okay. Otherwise, journaling can become just a place where you go to vent. And then it's just another outlet for you to complain, another outlet for you to focus on what is not going right in your life, what is not good, what do you want to change? And if you get stuck in that cycle of just complaining or stuck of that cycle, then it's not getting you anywhere. It's not getting you unstuck. Mm-hmm. So when I say purposeful journaling, it means, okay, I'm journaling because I want to look at what was positive about my day.
Right.
When I want to journal, I want to maybe write down where I feel stuck, but then go back to that after I've written it down and see how can I become unstuck. Mm. It's also a great way to keep track of your emotions and also the triggers. So going forward, you become more aware and mindful of, oh, these people, these places, these interactions are going to trigger me more. Therefore, I have to be more prepared. Right. So once again, journaling with purpose and not just, oh, I'm journaling, therefore I'm doing something that's great for my mental health.
Right. Very interesting. Now, how can one build a reliable support system without feeling dependent on that system?
Oh, that's a big question. But I think a healthy support system isn't about leaning on this for every decision.
Okay.
So it's clearly defining what support means to you and what type of support do you want to get out of your support system. So think about it as your like a charm bracelet. You're not going to go to, let's say, Edgar's to buy biltong, you know. so you need to know who are the people you need to go to for what resource.
Yeah.
So that one person can't be all of that for you. And therefore, you need to start to recognize it's about having people who remind you of your strengths when you forget. It's about people that, oh, this is the person that is just my, I can just be with this friend. I don't necessarily have to tell them what's going on. I can just kind of be in the moment. Mm-hmm. This is the friend that I can talk deep with, or my psychologist is someone that I can really unpack issues with. Oh, this is someone that's really practical. If I go to them with a problem, they're going to help me create structure. They're going to help me, give me steps to get me through this. This is the friend that allows me to just cry and be emotional without judgment. And I think in support systems, that's the key. It's what makes you feel safe, where you have that mutual respect, and also knowing who to go to for what.
Sure. And then what's the value of tracking patterns or triggers as part of personal growth? You talked about this when you're speaking of journaling and all of that. What's the value of that? Why is that important?
Okay, so when we track our triggers, we take our own power back. Patterns often reveal the root of what's upsetting us. So we might have a trigger about, oh, it's about traffic. Oh, it's about being at the mall. Oh, it's about going to work. And these might seem like three individual instances or three separate triggers, but they may have a golden thread that pulls through all of them, that actual trigger that's just kind of masked behind these interactions. Mm-hmm. So once we can take a step back, write these triggers down, really think about and unpack them, mm-hmm. we can say, oh, it's not necessarily about this action that I carried out, but it's about this person, or it's about this environment, or it's about this intentional or irrational belief that I have. So once we can notice a pattern, we can start choosing different responses. So now I know, oh, before I go somewhere, there's a likelihood that this theme that I'm struggling with is going to come up for me. Mm-hmm. So if I have to do public speaking, you know, but I have a theme of maybe self-loathing, or I have a low self-esteem, even with me coming onto the radio and Bongi's asking me a question, mm-hmm. I might be like, well, okay, I think I'm doing really well. But afterwards, I'm going to go into a spiral knowing that, oh, did I do that well enough? Did I say the right things? Did I stumble over my words? Tomorrow when I do a presentation at work, I feel the same. And then I'll just go into that self-doubt and thinking that, oh, I'm getting triggered a lot. Mm-hmm. But both of these triggers have something in common. It challenges my self-awareness. It challenges my belief in myself. And that's the root. That's the real nitty-gritty, stucky, yucky-ucky part that I'm struggling with. And that's what I need to really address. So keeping patterns, journaling, that intentional journaling helps me to just become aware of these patterns, help me unpack them, and then get to the source and not just skim over behaviors and treat them like the real problem.
Very interesting. You know, the tracking patterns and all of that, I'm reminded of someone not too long ago who was talking about tracking their food, right? Some kind of a health journey or whatever, tracking their food. And so for hers was not even about her own mental health thing, but she noticed that, hey, every time I have junk food, the next day or for the next few days, I struggle to concentrate when I'm reading the Bible. I struggle with my personal devotion. It becomes a little bit difficult. And I've heard other people also talking about, depending on what they've eaten, or depending on, sometimes it's what they've been watching on TV, or depending on how much time they've spent on social media, they've noticed certain patterns that, oh, every time I spend this much time on social media, I find that this happens in my life. And when I get off social media, when I take a break, this happens in my life. And I thought that was very interesting. So even as you're speaking about it here, I'm realizing how important it is to recognize those things so that we then make the changes. Because on the one hand, you're trying so hard to read the Bible and you're struggling and you're trying only to realize that it's the food that you're eating that's that's doing something to you, that's kind of affecting you in a way that you struggle to concentrate. And if you would just leave that behind, that would then fix the Bible study portion of your life that you're trying to improve. So very interesting. No. Recognizing our patterns, how our patterns affect our lives.
Definitely. We are so unaware of what we consume.
Yes.
And you said it so perfectly. Food, social media, news, other people's opinions,
exactly.
How we talk about other people, how we show up, you know, and we don't realize it. For me, I could relate so much with that social media one, because very often, you know, you end up on the wrong side of social media and there's all this negative, my FYP is like full of this negative things. And then I kind of feel more depressed at work. I feel like, oh, what's the point? There's no hope.
Yeah.
And then I'm more likely to, like you said, I'm less likely to engage in devotion. I'm less likely to show up for my friends.
Yeah.
I'm more likely. And I think you just highlighted a very important point about humans and us showing up for ourselves and our mental health and within our religion and our spirituality as well, to know, but what are you consuming? And what is the after effects of that? How does that affect you?
Yeah.
Because it does have a profound effect.
Exactly. So we all have some kind of trigger. Even if you don't have a personality disorder, there are certain things that you're struggling with in your life. It's possible that maybe there's something else pushing that. There's something else triggering that thing that you're struggling to improve on. So very, very interesting. Any final words, final thoughts?
Final thoughts for today is just, Look at what you consume.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're getting some positive consumption today,
Yeah.
positive words, positive info, engage positively, and always be kind.
Amen. Thank you so much, Yolanda, for coming through once again. And we'll chat again on Friday.
Thank you, Bongi. Bye.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.